25 seconds, not even, approximately 23 and a half seconds. That is the unofficial time that I came up with tonight. But I feared this. I warned everyone of this. I reiterated it earlier tonight on Twitter. I was hoping I'd be wrong, but Jesus fucking Christ. I am happy that Goldberg is back. I am enjoying the fact that he is back. What I'm not enjoying is the fact that he has now wrestled Brock Lesnar in a main event, been in the Royal Rumble, and wrestled Kevin Owens in a main event. And those three matches combined, he has wrestled less than 5 minutes. Now, I've been watching wrestling since 1979. So I don't want any young Matarazzi to say to me,
Don Tony, when Goldberg used to wrestle in the 90s, he only wrestled 2-3 minute matches.
I totally get that. The difference is back in 98, he was wrestling week after week after week after week after week after week after week. This guy has been back, and he's heavyweight champion. And if you take away the Royal Rumble, he's wrestled less than 2 minutes. Now, I want people to understand, I am totally for Goldberg being back. I have said all along that part-timers returning to wrestling for WrestleManias like The Rock and others is what's best for business. I'm sorry to say it, but in the current age of wrestling, there are not enough guys that are generating the extraordinary amount of attention, pay-per-view buys, attendance, ticket sales that WWE would want in this day and age. If you look at the current crop of wrestlers, they are probably the most talented in the ring that we have ever seen. Now, you can't blame the wrestlers from the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s. If they wrestled their style today, they'd get boring chants every match. It's just a different era. But, again, I have no problem with Goldberg back. But what does that say? That the guy has wrestled less than 5 minutes total, and he is going into WrestleMania as the heavyweight champion. This is the reason, well, I shouldn't say the reason, but this is one of the reasons why some wrestlers have a hard time getting over when they come back part-time, okay? Goldberg is the exception of the rule. The Rock is the exception of the rule. But when you get into Batista and others and they get shitted on, you know, other than Goldberg and The Rock, maybe Kurt Angle, there's really no one else out there that can make a return part-time, wrestle for a couple of minutes, get a title, and a lot of fans are happy. But what does that say in this current age that you got this guy back less than 5 minutes and he's beat Brock Lesnar and is the heavyweight champion and is going into WrestleMania? I personally, this is one of the reasons why Kevin Owens gets the pops that he does. This is the reason why other wrestlers get the pops that they do. Because fans ultimately realize that they are the ones busting their ass week in and week out and week in and week out and week in and week out. And yes, getting this spur in a moment victory is a nice little reaction. It's unexpected. All right, the Brock Lesnar thing, you know, was something that no one in their wildest dreams ever imagined would happen in a minute and a half. But Jesus Christ, man, you know, it may not necessarily be Goldberg's fault altogether. All right. It may be Nia Jax's fault. And I don't mean her. I mean WWE's decision making. It might be Braun Strowman's fault. And I don't mean Strowman himself. I mean WWE's decision making. It might be Sasha Banks's fault. And not necessarily Sasha. It's WWE's decision making. Because tonight, I don't fucking understand what the purpose was to have some of the match decisions that they did. Nia Jax is supposed to be a monster, and she gets pinned clean. Braun Strowman is on such a momentum, which is fucking rare for somebody his size to have that much agility, is on a momentum, and you have him lose clean to Roman Reigns. Now, I get it. doing his jump off the top rope, you know, something that you've never seen before. He missed, and that's supposed to be like, well, the only reason why Braun Strowman really lost is because he didn't hit his move and Roman rolled out of the way, and that he capitalized and got the victory. Still, Nia Jax losing, Roman Reigns beating Strowman clean, and then you have this storyline where Bayley tells Charlotte, why don't you keep Dana Brooke in the back tonight? And if you're going to beat me one-on-one. And then what do we have? We have Sasha Banks come out there and help Bayley. Does that make sense? And if you watch the match, why didn't the referee disqualify Bayley for what Sasha Banks did? It was just really stupid tonight. I got to be honest with you. I could honestly say, without a shadow of a doubt, this is one of the worst pay-per-views that I have ever seen WWE put on for the simple reason of the horrible decision-making tonight. Some of the matches that went on tonight, I have no problem seeing Rusev versus Big Show, but we already had 7 matches advertised tonight, and they decide to add 2 more. When was the last time you saw WWE have a 9-match pay-per-view in 3 hours? They added 2 extra matches tonight, and I'm saying to myself, Jesus Christ, my fear of the main event going 1 minute might actually end up happening. And then when we hit the 10 o'clock hour and there was really only 2 matches left outside of Braun versus Roman Reigns, I'm like, okay, you know, if this match goes 15 minutes and this one goes 20, 25 minutes, that leaves a good 20 minutes for the main event. And yes, this is the WWE Network now, so they can go over the 11 o'clock hour. We have to get used to that. See, a lot of people aren't used to that yet. Time gets to 5 to 11, you're like, oh shit, pay-per-views could end in 5 minutes no matter what. And now you're trying to like see 2 minutes before 11, okay, who's going to come out? The finish is going to happen now. And it kind of kills the suspense of watching a match. But now the WWE Network, they go overtime. So when it does hit 11 o'clock, that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to go off the air at 11. So those days of Goldberg, DDP from that night, it's not happening anymore. But I got to tell you, the decision-making tonight with the outcomes, and I totally understand why. That's the thing that baffles me. I totally get it. This is designed strictly for WrestleMania. By bringing Nia Jax, this is WWE's mentality, by bringing Nia Jax down a step, by having Sasha Banks beat her, now if Sasha Banks versus Nia versus Charlotte versus Bayley happen at WrestleMania, now everybody seems a little bit more on a playing field. By the way, Charlotte lost her undefeated women's championship run on pay-per-view. She lost her undefeated singles run on pay-per-view tonight. You know, I mean, I don't know. Let's get into this pay-per-view, because this is a pay-per-view recap podcast, and I'm probably milking this intro a little bit because I could probably do this recap in 10 minutes because honestly, and let's be honest, watch the pay-per-view, and I don't think anybody will disagree with me on this. Up until Braun Strowman, well, I shouldn't even say that. Up until Jack Gallagher and Neville, all the matches were pretty much stagnant. I mean, it was like watching Monday Night Raw matches. I mean, and not only that, up until that Cruiserweight match, every match tonight went 8 to 9 minutes. The pre-show, Rich Swann and Tozawa defeating Brian Kendrick and Noam Dar went about 9 minutes. You had Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe officially kick off the pay-per-view tonight. The match was great. All right. It went 9 minutes and 45 seconds. I actually thought the match should have went a little bit longer. I was surprised it actually even went that long. But then when you go back and you see a little back and forth, it did drag on a little bit. Sami Zayn got a little bit more offense than I expected him to get. But Samoa Joe did get the victory on Zayn. Put him in a submission move for the win. You know, the crowd was behind Zayn. You know, there were some people trying to start those, you know, Joe is going to kill you chants. But I was like, wow, for the opening curtain jerk, I honestly thought the opening match tonight, without a shadow of a doubt, was going to be Gallows and Anderson versus Enzo and Big Cass. because you just picture the pay-per-view opening up. You want to open up with the crowd getting into it, and you can picture, you know, Enzo on the mic, you know, starting it off, and but it didn't happen. We had Joe versus Zayn, which I thought was a little odd to be the opening match tonight. But, you know, that's basically what went down. But again, Joe versus Zayn, nice match, but to me it was raw quality at the most. Shawn and Tozawa versus Kendrick and Dar, it was raw quality at the most. Gallows and Anderson and Enzo and Kaz, and any longtime listener knows that I am a stickler to detail. You're in the WWE, you're in the major leagues, you're on the main roster, you know, you have to be polished. Now, everybody makes mistakes now and then, but I watch Big Cass closely, and I call him Green Giant. That's what I really call him. He's a giant. He's still green to me. He is talented. Don't get me wrong, but I call him the Green Giant. And basically what I had a problem with tonight was, you know, the match opens up, Enzo's getting his ass kicked. And, you know, there was even one point where, what's his face? Corey Graves said it would be an international embarrassment if Enzo would have pinned Gallows and Anderson tonight. And, you know, I'm saying to myself, yeah, actually, you know, he's right. They did make mention that Gallows and Anderson, only one of three teams to hold the IWGP tag titles and the WWE titles. The other two were the Dudleys and I believe the Steiners. But, you know, Enzo's getting his ass kicked. Finally gives the hot tag to Green Giant. And watch this again. And in a regular match, if you're not really paying attention all that much, you might have not even saw this, but this is probably the culmination of my problem with Big Cass as a wrestler right now. Why they do not deserve tag titles right now. Watch the match again and watch the moment when Enzo hits the hot tag on the Green Giant. Okay? Green Giant throws Anderson into two turnbuckles. All right? Threw him into one corner and then threw him into the other corner. And as he throws him in the corner, ho, 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 Green Giant, what does he do? After Anderson hits the buckle, instead of executing his, what move did he? He did the fall away slam twice. So he throws Anderson in the buckle in the corner and then proceeds to do the fall away slam. But if you watch when Green Giant does it, he doesn't go and grab Anderson to do the fall away slam. He puts his arm out. And if the arm could talk, he's saying, okay, Anderson, come to me. Come to me. And Anderson pops out of the corner. It cradles into Green Giant's arms, and he does the fall-away slam. And he did that twice, and it's just so manufactured. I hate that. And it just really poo-poos, you know, just the overall feeling on the match. It just was manufactured. Anyway, basically, the match ended. Anderson caught Enzo Amore with a kick as he was returning back into the ring. Anderson covered Enzo. Enzo put his foot on the rope. Gallows knocked the foot off. Referee didn't see the foot on the rope originally. Got the 1-2-3. Gallows and Anderson beat Enzo and Kaz in 8:40. Again, less than 9-minute match. You know, storyline stupidity. We see a segment in the back. Mick Foley's on the phone with Stephanie. Stephanie says that she can't make it tonight, that she's stuck on the tarmac in the fucking plane, blah, 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 blah. And she says it's really annoying that she's been watching the pay-per-view on her cell phone. So then she says that, you know, she says to Mick Foley, I'm going to stay on the cell phone with you the whole night. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. If you're on the cell phone in storyline the whole night with Foley, how are you watching the pay-per-view on the same cell phone? You can't do it. Just little observations, you know. Yeah, you know, I just might be a little nitpicking a little bit too much. But, you know, the over-excessive heat between Foley and bipolar Stephanie is ridiculous. I mean, obviously, Foley is leaving. He's got to get the hip surgery. When he first came back, we told you the first week, Holy Foley's coming. They're going to plug Holy Foley. I'm still convinced we're going to see something happen between Noel and Stephanie. I've been saying that for like since week one that they announced Holy Foley. So what did we say back then? Holy Foley is back. Foley will be GM. And then ultimately when we get close to WrestleMania, they'll have the split. you know, Stephanie will start picking on him for no fucking reason, and Foley will quit, or he'll get fired, or whatever, and that's basically what's happening. So the over-excessive heat between Foley and Stephanie is just dumb. It's not coming off well. It's just really, it's just tacky. Really, really tacky. So then we get next, Sasha versus Nia Jax. Another 8-minute match. Sasha pins Nia. You know, obviously, Sasha Banks has been getting her ass handed to her by Nia Jax. I'm not saying that Nia Jax shouldn't have lost tonight, but there was many ways that it could have been done. You know, Sasha Banks getting all this revenge on Nia Jax, it could have been very easy that Nia could have got disqualified. Sasha could have just put on a hold and refused to break it. There's a million ways to do it. And to have Nia just get pin clean, I just, you know, I didn't like it at all. Did not like it at all. By the way, shout out to all our patrons, obviously. And also shout out to everyone who took part in the pay-per-view predictions contest tonight. Very happy to announce that the winner of tonight's pay-per-view predictions contest was Ray Gomez. He actually scored 19 points. And Ray, I will definitely get in touch with you on Monday. You let me know what prizes you want from the list that I posted on Patreon, and we'll get it out to you right away. And by the way, on our Patreon page, what I'm going to be doing from now on a lot of the pay-per-views. See, what I usually do with the pay-per-view predictions contest, I put up a list of like 5-6 different prizes that you could choose from. And originally, you know, you pick one from the list if you're a winner. Then we decide to increase the prize a little bit. So now you pick 2 prizes from the list. Well, what I decided to do was add a little contest for everyone. So basically, if you predict the actual time of a particular match that I choose, you actually will win all of the prizes, all 6 prizes, which is pretty cool. And I decided to do that tonight with the main event, Kevin Owens versus Goldberg. And I got to tell you, you look at go on a Patreon page and look at all the predictions that people put with the times. I think there was one person that put a minute, but after that, everybody was like 6 minutes, 7 minutes. On average, you know, some people were putting 10 minutes, 11 minutes, because you think, you know, main event, you know, we pay our money, you know, but you got to also think in a mentality of way WWE's nowadays. You can only see it on the network. It's not like you're paying $60 to watch it.
And you paid $60 for it.
And you really can't get pissed to a certain extent because you know WWE's going to say, hey, a UFC match could last 2 minutes. A boxing match could last 2 minutes. You know, but when you're on the WWE network and you're paying $9.99 and you're getting the whole entire month for $9.99, and if you signed up today, you get WrestleMania included to that as well. You really think about it. What is WWE, you know, not saying really to your face, but is figuratively saying to you? Wait, you're mad at a 2-minute main event, and you're paying $9.99 to see Fastlane and WrestleMania combined, where back in the day you would be paying over $100 to see the two? For $100, you get a whole year now of WWE pay-per-views. So I totally get that sense of it. But again, when you just look at, you know, the decision-making tonight, I mean, my God, I thought it was horrendous. I really thought it was horrendous. So anyway, Nia Jax losing to Sasha Banks clean. Next we got Neville taking on Jack Gallagher. Pink Nipples Gallagher. That's what I think they're going to call him. What did Mish on Wrestling Soup call him? Mouthfuck Tom? I think we're going to call him Pink Nipples Jack. Pink Nipples Jack. And I'm sorry, every time I see fucking Pink Nipples come down to the ring with the umbrella, I think of fucking Rihanna's song, you know, Gallagher and his doofy umbrella, Ella. Seriously, every time I see it, I write it on Twitter, and I actually got the instrumental for Umbrella, and I'm like, I'll do a little spoof of it tonight. I'm like, nah, it's going to come out really, really dumb. But just in the back of my mind, I'm like, Gallagher and his doofy, please, Trax, do not fucking post clips like this. I'll get 1,000 thumbs down. But seriously, his doofy Umbrella, Ella, with his goofy umbrella. Seriously. I was actually going to do the song. You think I'm kidding? I had it queued up, and I was like, I ain't fucking lip syncing and doing a spoof of Umbrella tonight. I'm not in a good mood. And you know what it is? It's just, I don't know. I don't like, and I know the purists out there, you know, and I don't want to categorize them as the Ring of Honor diehards, the Japanese wrestling fans, the true wrestling. You know, I don't want anybody to say, hey, Kevin Owens wrestled week after week after week, and you got a part-timer that comes back, and he takes it in 30 seconds, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I mean, I think people have a right to bitch about that. You know, the guy has been busting his ass week after week after week. Why not have Jericho take on Owens for the title at WrestleMania? I tell you the truth. If you really think about it, what would you rather have? Goldberg versus Lesnar for no belt at WrestleMania, and Owens versus Jericho for the Universal title at WrestleMania, or what would you rather have? Owens versus Jericho for no belt, and Lesnar versus Goldberg at WrestleMania for the title. Which match would you rather have the title defended? I'd rather see the storyline of Jericho possibly winning the belt one last time than having two part-timers that don't wrestle. Like I said earlier this week, why didn't they set up a match for him? And I, of course, I know the answer why, because of his contract. But think about that. I mean, seriously, think about that for a moment. And speaking of belts, you know, we had Naomi. You know, she wins the belt on SmackDown, the women's title. She's got a boo-boo on the knee. She comes out. She cuts the promo. She's crying. I can't defend the title. I have to surrender it. It wasn't even 30 days yet. You won it less than 2 weeks earlier. Wait until the 30 days. And then, of course, I'm talking about WWE storylines. Just to show you how dumb they are, okay? So Naomi has to give up the belt right away because of a knee injury, but yet, wasn't it not too long ago that Becky Lynch had that mysterious ailment, and she couldn't defend the title for 30 days, remember that? And they didn't make her give away the title. And Jericho is currently a champion as well. When was the last time he defended that title? It just feels like it's been more than 30 days ago. So, you know, I am a stickler to detail. And I just don't like this carelessness, this garbage. Anyway, first match of the night that I truly, truly enjoyed. And again, I liked Joe versus Zayn. Thought it was good. I just, you know, didn't like it. It was the curtain jerker, and, you know, I just didn't like the way it felt. But Neville versus Jack Gallagher for the Cruiserweight title was next. They went 12 minutes. This is the first match, I think, that went more than 9 minutes tonight. A lot of back and forth. Gallagher with these headbutts. And, you know, if you look at them closely, he's nailing the chest area of Neville. But still, you know, you think of the impact of Jack Gallagher with those headbutts. Kind of surprised WWE is actually allowing that as much as he does it. Of course, they look stiffer than what they really are, but still, I'm very surprised that they're letting him go to that extent with the headbutts, and he did a couple of beautiful ones tonight. Neville actually brought out the Red Arrow, which we haven't seen for quite some time. That's how Neville did defeat Gallagher tonight to retain the Cruiserweight Championship. You know, a lot of people, you know, it's funny. When I did Breakfast with Blasi last week, a lot of people were asking over and over again, what do you think of Jack Gallagher as being a Cruiserweight champion going into WrestleMania? And I said, I think it's horrible. I think Neville versus Austin Aries at WrestleMania would be a very interesting match to see go down. Hopefully they don't turn it into like a 6-way or an 8-way. But when we did pay-per-view predictions on Patreon, I think every single person except for one picked Neville to win tonight over Gallagher, so he did retain. Match was great. This was the first match of the night, by the way, that got the This Is Awesome chance. I don't remember an earlier match getting it. Forgive me if there was a moment, but I honestly do not remember any match earlier getting the This Is Awesome chance. But, you know, he did retain the title over Gallagher. We then had a backstage segment with Paul Heyman and Charlie Caruso. By the way, Charlie Caruso, You know, she actually in the pre-match tonight was doing some of the social media stuff instead of Tom Phillips, you know, fuck mouth Tom or fuck face Tom, whatever. Mouth fuck Tom. That's right. Yeah, mouth fuck Tom. By the way, if you missed Wednesday's Breakfast of Blasi, go check it out. Very entertaining. I enjoyed it. It was really good. And by the way, especially after what went down tonight with Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman, which I'll get into next. As I said on Breakfast with Blasi, you know, there's got to be a Make-A-Wish kid out there. Make some special cookies for Roman Reigns. Seriously, you know, throw a couple of, performance-enhancing ingredients in there. Give it to him as quickly as possible. Get that summer bitch suspended before WrestleMania, please. There's got to be a kid out there.
Roman Reigns, eat my cookies. Eat my cookies.
Please, some Make-A-Wish kid, come on. Please, we need some special, you know, cookies for Roman Reigns. You know, special WrestleMania cookies. Oh, man. Anyway, Heyman's interviewed by Charlie Caruso. She's very attractive. I have to say it quietly because my girlfriend's in the other room sleeping. Charlie Caruso, very, very attractive. I don't like the fact that she wears pants so often, but she is one attractive backstage announcer. And, I've said all along, you know, I'm a brunette type of guy. So, you know, Charlie Caruso, I don't know if Caruso, she's Italian, you know, Caruso Italian. And I'm not going to fucking Google her nationality. I don't give a shit. But one fine looking lady backstage. But anyway, you know, Heyman was talking about, you know, that Brock Lesnar wins tonight, no matter who comes away with the Universal Championship, blah, 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 blah. And that's another thing. You know, we did the pay-per-view predictions contest tonight, added a couple of additional features. Hey, will Bayley, you know, get involved in a match with Sasha Banks and Nia Jax? Will Sasha Banks get involved in the Bayley-Charlotte match? Will Triple H make an appearance? Will the Undertaker, will the gong hit to set up Roman Reigns and Undertaker at WrestleMania? Will Brock Lesnar come out and cause Goldberg the victory? You know, that was the storyline that I wanted to see all along. You know, you think of it, I mean, all those little things could have helped, you know, take away the nonsense tonight on a pay-per-view. And again, I am in no way, shape, or form blaming any of the actual participants in the ring. I want everyone to understand that. I have no problem with any single person that worked in the ring tonight. They busted their ass, all right? But WWE's decision-making sometimes is just pure shit. And tonight was a really good example of that. Now, is Braun Strowman's career fucked up now because Roman Reigns won? No. You know, a lot of people on Twitter immediately after saying, oh, you know, what the fuck was this? How do you kill his momentum like that? And, you know, I totally understand. This guy is on massive momentum. And they had to give Roman Reigns some type of a victory, you know, so if he does take on Undertaker, you know, he puts a little bit more suspension of disbelief that maybe Roman Reigns could actually defeat Undertaker at WrestleMania. Honestly, right now, I think fucking, what's his face on SmackDown? You know what I'm talking about. James Ellsworth probably give Undertaker a little run for his money, you know, it's not Undertaker's fault. He's getting up there in age, but, you know, Royal Rumble was not that long ago, and Undertaker may feel great right now for 35 seconds, you know, but 3 minutes into the match, you know, it's like having a dead battery in a toy that's like 95% dead. You know, how many times have you had that as a kid? You got like a toy with a robot or whatever it is, and the battery is like 98% dead, and you like try to like, you know, do everything possible to get it run just a little bit longer. Or maybe you turn it off, you wait a couple of seconds, you turn it back on, and you think you'll just get that extra magical boost of energy to make that toy work just a little bit longer. Or even a fucking cell phone that only has 1% battery in it left. Maybe if I put it in the refrigerator for 15 minutes, I could get a little extra time. Undertaker might feel great for a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. But, you know, once you realize after a couple of minutes in that fucking battery's at 99% dead, his mind is telling him, go, 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 go. And his body's saying, hell fucking no. It's just life. It's what happens. But I got to tell you, man, of everybody tonight in that ring, Braun Strowman impressed me the most. Braun Strowman, to me, WWE really has someone, I don't want to say someone special, but they got a rare gem over there of a guy that fucking big that not only maneuvers well in and out of the ring, but he tries to tell a story. He's got ring presence. He knows what he's doing. You know, just little things. He doesn't look lost out there. He looks like, you know what it is? Braun Strowman has the ability of actually dictating a match. You know, it's like podcasts. All right, it's not the same, but I'll give you an example. It's a podcast. Me, I love doing solo shows. I've been doing solo shows going back to when I used to do my hotline back in 1998. And I like doing the solo shows because obviously I could put my whole thought out there. I don't lose my train of thought. I could say what I want to say. I don't have to worry about being interrupted. I don't have to worry about anybody stopping me. I don't have to worry about anybody rebutting. But I love doing the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show because I love debating also. I love discussion also. I love having a co-host to bounce topics back and forth and not agreeing on everything. All right. But there are some people out there that cannot do a solo show. They need someone else to dictate the show. And some people, that's just the way it is, you know. But there's some people out there that they have a show, they have someone else on there, and they lead it and lead it and lead it, you know. And then there's some people that can, you know, work on their own. Some people have to have a tag team partner. There's some wrestlers that are great in tag teams. You put them, try to give them a singles run and they're shot to shit. And by the way, let me mention this. Just an added bunch of stupidity tonight. There was a pre-show segment. And I don't remember where these matches were tonight. It was probably right before the Cruiserweight match, if I remember correctly. But there was a backstage segment on the pre-show, where Jinder Mahal's comes out to Mick Foley and basically says, hey, Rusev and me are no longer a tag team. I want singles competition. And then Rusev comes out and he's like, you're trying to take the words out of my mouth. You're trying to be like me, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden they hate each other. The fuck? They have momentum. Why the fuck did WWE do this? Jinder Mahal just comes out, and I know why. Look at fucking Jinder Mahal. He's in fucking incredible shape. But Jesus Christ, there's a reason why he always lost. Fucking looking nicer. It's like having a car with a blown engine. I'm not saying Jinder Mahal's ability is the equivalent of a blown engine. You got a fucking blown engine on the car. The car's engine has got 300,000 miles on it, or if it just doesn't, it's like having a fucking, you know, the joke was back in the day in the 80s, you know, a guy would be in a club and talk to a chick, you know, and he'll be like, she'll be like, oh, what kind of car you drive? Oh, I drive a vet. Think he's going to impress him. But meanwhile, he don't have a Chevy Corvette. He's got a Chevy Chevette. So it's like having a fucking Corvette with a Chevette engine inside. No matter how fucking nice you make that car look, it's still got a Chevette engine. No matter how Jinder Mahal looks in that ring physically, if he can't dictate a match, if he can't call a match, if he can't tell a great story, if he can't get the crowd behind him, if he can't fucking click with the fans, doesn't matter how great he looks out there. Now it's all of a sudden, we are no longer a tag team. And then you got the announcers, oh, you know, this hatred has been brewing for a while. The fuck you talking about? Can I have some of those drugs that you're on? It was just dumb tonight. It was just, I don't know what it was tonight. I honestly don't know what it was. But again, they split up. Foley says, oh, we'll give you two singles matches tonight. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, we already got seven matches announced for this pay-per-view. Yes, I know WWE could go overtime, but Jesus Christ, we're going to fit nine matches in a 3-hour pay-per-view? And I wrote on Twitter about an hour into the show, I said, wait a minute. We're actually, this main event's going to go a minute. And it didn't even last that. But anyway, we had Jinder Mahal losing to Cesaro, and we had Rusev losing to Big Show. And that's another one. People are like, wait a minute, Big Show, yeah, you know, he's lost a lot of weight. He's gotten himself in shape. The shit that's going on with Shaq is kind of messed up. And, you know, but Rusev's been on some momentum. And you had him just lose to Big Show tonight. It was like, what was the purpose? Really, what was the purpose? Did Big Show really need this victory today? I mean, and again, Rusev's career is not fucked up now because Big Show won. You know, Braun Strowman's career is not fucked up because of Roman Reigns winning. But there was just a lot of match decisions tonight just left you scratching your head like, it just doesn't make sense. So anyway, getting back to Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman, it went 17 and a half minutes. There was a really nice table spot where Strowman put a power slam on Roman Reigns tonight. And, you know, I've been saying this for a while now. There's a clip on YouTube. Type in Don Tony Roman Reigns and you'll see it. I said, I think it's time fans start giving a little bit more credit to Roman Reigns. All right. And I did that clip about a month, month and a half ago, maybe even 2 months ago. Got a shitload of thumbs down. Now, let me just reiterate something that I have said repeatedly on these shows. It's amazing. My co-host Kevin Castle fucking loves Roman Reigns' work, praises him. Okay? I don't. All right? I think Roman Reigns deserves a little bit more respect for the work that he's putting in the ring. The matches between him and AJ Styles were excellent. All right. Matches that he has had with other wrestlers have been very good. His matches with Rusev were excellent. Let's be honest. His matches with Braun Strowman have been really good. Yes, we don't like the outcome. Yes, we don't like how WWE keeps throwing this fucking Matarazzo in a main event on Raw almost every fucking week. So let me be perfectly clear, because I've said this 18,000 times, and for some reason people still don't comprehend it. I am not a Roman Reigns fan. I don't like Roman Reigns in the ring, okay? But I understand why he is out there. I understand why he is being pushed, all right? I don't disagree with some of the stuff that's going on. I just don't prefer the guy. But at some point, you have to, if you're a real wrestling fan, you have to step back and say to yourself, look, I don't like this guy. I don't want this guy pushed. This guy is not over as much as, you know, that they say they are. You know, is just, he doesn't click with a lot of people. He rubs people the wrong way. But this is WWE's fault. Okay, guy can't cut a promo. Some people said to me on Breakfast with Blase, hey, I think Roman Reigns would be a monster heel. I'm like, why? You know, there's no proof that he could get on the mic and really talk down to the fans. There's only so many times you could say, I don't care what the fans say. I'm not waiting to WrestleMania. I'm going to kick your ass now. You know, after a while, it gets played out. You know, The Rock first turned heel in the mid-90s. You know, nobody had a fucking clue that The Rock was going to be the most charismatic guy on the mic. In the beginning, and I've said this before, what did The Rock do? Shut up. Shut up. Let The Rock speak. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. A lot of The Rock's promos, you know, when he first turned heel, were just talking down to the fans. Then he developed the charisma. Roman Reigns has not shown any sign of being charismatic on the mic. Does anybody forget the fucking nursery rhyme crap? And he couldn't even execute that the right way. All right? So, again, I am not a big Roman Reigns fan in any way, shape, or form. But I also take notice of the matches that he's having, and they're not bad. But, again, WWE has this obsession, this madness of putting this guy in a certain position, and they are not moving from it. And it's the Daniel Bryan effect. When WWE gave in to the fans because of their extreme love and appreciation for Daniel Bryan, fans nowadays, and it's not just wrestling, it's in real life. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody has a right to say, you know, when I see these protests, okay, and I'm not trying to bring up politics, I'm going to bring up a point. I see these protests, and I don't care if you're black, I don't care if you're Muslim. I don't care if you're Indian. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're any minority. I don't care if you're anybody out there. You know, when you have people really, really getting vile, yelling, screaming, cursing, I don't care how much you hate Trump. I don't care how much you hate Milo Yiannopoulos. I don't care how much you hate the people out there. All right. When I see people just totally outrageous with what they're saying, and you know what I see the parents say? You have every right out there to say what you want. You're in America. You got freedom of speech. You're allowed to say anything you want. You pay your tax. You're an American. You can open up your mouth, speak your mind, say anything you want. You know what? When I was a kid, you know, and I said something really nasty, you know what? I didn't get my mother and father saying, "That's right, son, speak your mind. Say whatever the fuck you want. You have every right to say it. You're an American, USA. You have every right, freedom of speech." You know what my father say? "Talk like that again, you're going to eat a bar of soap in your mouth." And I swear on a stack of Bibles, I swear on my mother right now that is still having major heart problems. All right? I tasted soap as a kid. Okay? I was taught that, yeah, you do have freedom of speech, but you're supposed to show a little bit of class as well. All right, so getting back to the Roman Reigns thing, when Daniel Bryan was not getting over, okay, when he first got fired from doing the choke thing, it made a lot of fans outraged, you know, just really angry at WWE. They brought him back. All right, then he was doing the Hell No thing with Kane, and he started really getting over with the fans. And I remember that match with him and Sheamus at WrestleMania when he lost in like 10 seconds. That really, really got fans even more behind Daniel Bryan. And it got to the point where they turned it into a major storyline. You know, boycott Raw or, you know, hijack Raw, whatever it was. And Daniel Bryan is one of those rare times in wrestling history where a wrestler was not intended to be pushed the way they did. But WWE changed the book completely on the person and booked them totally differently because of the unbelievable amount of love and appreciation and expression and feelings that the WWE universe had towards a wrestler. Okay. And the problem with that is now it opened the floodgates towards any wrestler. So now because the majority of fans, okay, yes, the girls and the kids, you know, let's go Roman. But I'm sorry, as much as those annoying women and kids chant, "Let's go Roman," you know, majority of the fans out there are the ones chanting Roman sucks. And a lot of those fans feel that because they are overwhelmingly, you know, frustrated with the way WWE handles Roman Reigns, that they expect WWE to change the direction of Roman Reigns. Now, the only reason why Roman Reigns hasn't been champion longer, the only reason why Roman Reigns has suffered a lot of losses in the last year and a half is because he failed the wellness program. Let's be honest. But the guy still has ability, but because of the way WWE insists on him going a certain way, a lot of people feel that they can have the influence like they did with Daniel Bryan, and it's not happening, and it's getting those people even angrier with Roman Reigns. And it's not going to change anytime soon. You could fucking develop a wrestling character that's based on ISIS, and Roman Reigns saves the day. It's not going to make him any more over with the fans. You could have him fucking align with The Rock. You could have him align with Kurt Angle. You could have him fucking show up in backstage segment with every single person that you love on this earth. He'd come out there and say, "Donald Trump sucks." Doesn't matter. And tonight, Braun Strowman's career didn't get fucked up, but the decision-making tonight, God damn it. Now, again, majority of you out there are going to listen to this after Raw goes off the air on March 6th. So for all I know, Undertaker made an appearance on Raw Monday, March 6th. But even if The Undertaker does make an appearance, think of what I said Wednesday on Breakfast with Blassie. That is one of the biggest problems I have with storylines these days. They're done on the cheap. They're done sloppy. And what's bad about it is it's some of the most important storylines. Think of wrestling 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. up until 10 years ago, think of wrestling storylines. Somebody gets fucked over on a pay-per-view. They show up the next night on Raw, and they cause chaos. All right? They show up, you know, and get, you know, lose or get their ass kicked. If they get destroyed on a pay-per-view, they may not be on TV for a week or two to sell the injury angle. But when someone gets screwed, they don't fucking disappear for 2 months. Think of Undertaker, Royal Rumble. Get screwed by Roman Reigns. This is my yard now, motherfucker. Where's Undertaker? Why isn't he on Raw the following night calling out Roman Reigns? Now, you know what's going to happen? Undertaker, if they do that storyline, the gong could possibly hit on Monday. He calls out Roman Reigns. Everybody forgets about the gap in time. And we're all supposed to be, oh, you know, what's going to happen with this match at Mania? Is it going to be good? How's Undertaker going to be? Are they going to actually put Roman over? Blah, 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 blah. Think of Seth Rollins and Triple H. Everybody's wondering now, is he going to fight at Mania? Listen, Seth Rollins is going to beat the shit out of Triple H at WrestleMania. It is happening. They are not going to do a storyline on Raw showing his training and coming back and doing everything possible to try to make it to WrestleMania. Just not to make it? Think about that. You know, so they're not going to do these video segments on TV showing Seth Rollins trying his hardest to get back and then he doesn't get back. Think about that. So, but again, you know, we all forgot when Seth Rollins, you know, got screwed over by Triple H, and then we didn't see Triple H for three, four, 5 months, you know, in storyline. Oh, I'm looking for Triple H. He shows up in NXT with Seth Rollins in storyline. What happened to Roman Reigns? He got screwed over by Triple H. He's looking for Triple H, too, to beat his ass. How come that's not happening? These storylines of someone getting screwed, and then they decide they're not going to show up for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks, and then they'll come back. You know, you get away with it, you know, sometimes, but after a while, it just loses a lot of interest. And yes, WWE's making a profit no matter what. If I decide to stop watching, if any of you decide to stop watching, if any of you decide, you know what, I'm just not fucking spending the $10 on the network, there's always going to be some type of a profit. WWE is in no danger. Do you see the net worth of WWE right now? They are not concerned at my frustration, at your frustration. Okay? So there's going to be enough people out there to pay the bills for maybe infinity. But that doesn't mean that we don't have the right to express our displeasure and frustration and a lot of the annoyances that are going on. And, you know, that's just the way it is. Now, I haven't been on our Facebook page tonight. You know, I don't want to see listeners, my co-hosts, or anyone else. Oh, Goldberg won. Told you. You know, it's the right way to go. And this, this, and that. It's a fucking 25-second match. I voiced my opinions on here. Why? But to me, to put that much, you know, emphasis on it, and it's just, I gave you my reasons why I don't like it. Okay, again, I have no problem that the guy is back, but the fact that this guy has wrestled less than 5 minutes, what does that tell me? You know, if he competed on a few Raws, had some warm-up matches, got called out by Rusev, had a match, beat him in 5 minutes. He could have had fucking 5 matches and won them all in 60 seconds. Then I'd be like, you know what? The guy is wrestling week after week after week. You know what it tells me right now? It tells me that he doesn't, that they're afraid that he can't tell a story in that ring. And to me, there is no way Brock Lesnar and Goldberg at WrestleMania is only going to go in a minute and a half. The fans will shit on it. All right. But what's going to happen 5 minutes in? Are we going to have, you know, like a lot of gaga-ing where someone walks out of the ring and, you know, it just doesn't enter right away? Similar to what Kevin Owens did before the match started tonight. Are we going to see some brawling outside the ring? You know, to me, this just shows like, you know, we're not stupid. The guy's been back for, what, 5, 6 months and he's wrestled 5 minutes. I'm sorry. You know, it's, you want to use the baseball player analogy? You pay someone all this crazy amount of money and he's had 5 at-bats in 5 months. Does he deserve a starting role? Does he deserve? No. So again, think what I said earlier. What would you rather have? Goldberg versus Lesnar for the title at Mania and Owens versus Jericho for no belt? Or would you rather have Owens versus Jericho for the title and Goldberg versus Lesnar with for no belt? That's how I look at it. And Finn Balor's coming back soon. What was wrong with Finn? Now, what does this mean? Finn Balor is going to possibly challenge Goldberg or Brock Lesnar coming out of WrestleMania for the title that he never won? You know, I might be interested to see Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar, but still, I mean, Goldberg, yeah, it's nice. He's back. He got the championship. He hasn't wrestled more than a minute in a match. What does it tell you? Anyway, Bayley versus Charlotte, women's championship. We already discussed this. You know, Sasha Banks ran out for no reason whatsoever at the end. Match was great. You know, Bayley and Charlotte have had decent matches on the main roster, but nothing really fucking unbelievable. The night that Bayley won the women's championship, I said she earned it. She told a great story in the ring. I thought the match was fine. You know, but Bayley, if you look at her main roster, you know, in-ring work, you know, she hasn't had these standout matches. Not too many of them. Tonight was a decent match, back and forth. But I understand why WWE did what they did tonight. They didn't want Charlotte to have her first loss in the ring clean. Because Sasha did it, this is going to lead to Charlotte insisting on getting another match because of what Sasha did. We're still wondering if Sasha's going to turn heel, you know, and now because Nia is looking for Bayley also and there's no other pay-per-view before Mania, Foley or Stephanie is going to come out and announce a four-way at WrestleMania. And that's the reason why they did what they did tonight. You know Charlotte's going to call out WWE, Sasha got involved. It's not right. It's not fair to Flair that, you know, I got, you know, so she involved herself two matches in a row. You know, tonight, it's funny. Bayley didn't show any frustration after she won tonight. Like, why are you out here, Sasha? Why are you out here? Seriously, think about that. If they're trying to plant the seed of possibly having a little friction between Sasha and Bayley, if Bayley comes out on Raw March 6th and says, you know, I really didn't need you out there last night, you know, I appreciate it, but I was fine on my own, this and that. Look at Bayley's reaction when Sasha was doing what she was doing tonight, and look at Bayley's reaction after she won. No, there was none of that. So a day later, sorry, in storyline to me, it's a day too late. So anyway, main event, Goldberg, Kevin Owens. Very easy for me to explain this match. Goldberg comes out looking the best. I mean, Goldberg has looked phenomenal, no pun intended, since he's returned to WWE. But tonight, he looked extra cut. He looked really in shape. I said it many times before. I know it sounds trivial, but why doesn't Goldberg just put a little Just for Men on his beard? I'm starting to think that the only reason why he doesn't want to put hair color on his beard is because this run with the gray beard, when you watch highlights years from now or you watch matches he has down the line, you know, the gray beard, you could say, oh, that's when he came back, you know, later on. You dye that beard, he looks very, very close than he did 14 years ago. He doesn't look like he aged much at all. But again, you know, match starts right around the 11 o'clock hour. Everybody's worried. We're only going to get a one-minute match. Kevin Owens stalling about 3 or 4 minutes. Goes into the ring right before the match starts. Rolls out of the ring. Did this multiple times. Finally gets in the ring. They hit the bell. I start the time, you know, because obviously with the pay-per-view predictions contest, you know, the time of the match was important. And then Jericho's music hits. And Jericho comes down. Kevin Owens is distracted. Once again, Goldberg hits the two moves. Jackhammer, spear, 1, 2, 3. Wins the title. You know, Jericho got his ass handed to him. I didn't see Jericho hit the ring and beat the fuck out of Owens after that. Could have happened after Raw went off the air. I mean, the pay-per-view went off the air. Actually, I feel like it was a Raw. lot of tonight felt like a glorified Raw. It really did. You know, I understand giving some pay-per-view matches to a couple of the younger guys, but seriously, Big Show, Rusev, Cesaro, Jinder Mahal, what was the purpose of that tonight? Seriously, what was the purpose of having so many matches fall into the 8 to 9 minute category? Did the first five matches, I think, were between 8 and 9 minutes. And there was nothing really outstanding that stuck out in them. So I got to tell you, you know, when you actually look, and since everyone listening to the show are pretty much diehard fans, you watch wrestling week in and week out and week in and week out, and we see the development of Strowman. We see the development of Nia. We see how some wrestlers are being used and misused. We see how, you know, you see something building, and then for some reason it just gets knocked out for no reason, all right? And, you know, you see what goes down tonight, and I'm just left baffled. Seriously. I mean, the way they decide to put Roman Reigns over Strowman, Nia losing to Sasha, Jinder and Rusev breaking up for no fucking reason. There was just a lot of things tonight. Sasha Banks interfering in a match that didn't make sense, and she wasn't disqualified on top of it. And where was Foley? When Jericho's music hit, I'm talking in storyline. You know what's going to happen now? Stephanie's going to come out, confront Foley, because Jericho caused the match to end the way it did. But then again, why would Stephanie be upset with Goldberg winning the title because she's the one that said to Goldberg, do you have one last run in you? I am a stickler for detail. And I just didn't like the flow of tonight's pay-per-view. Some people out there may have really enjoyed tonight's pay-per-view. The work ethic, the work rate was not bad tonight. Just a lot of the matches did not really tell much of a story to me. I think, honestly, my two favorite matches tonight was Jack Gallagher versus Neville and Samoa Joe versus Sami Zayn. And, you know, the other matches were decent, but, you know, I know a lot of people, you see a match developing really nice, and then the ending, it's totally like, just ruins it. He just puts a bad taste in your mouth. And that's what it felt like a lot of times tonight. But what are you going to do? So with that said, I can't believe I actually almost went an hour over here. I honestly was thinking to myself, how the fuck am I even going to get 30 minutes worth of this in there? But I hope you enjoyed this recap of WWE Fastlane. Don't forget, we will be doing the pay-per-view predictions contest for WrestleMania on Patreon. The prizes that I'm going to be giving away are going to be fucking phenomenal. I'm not going to start revealing them yet, but trust me when I tell you, I think every single person listening, for at least a month or two, you're going to want to sign up on Patreon page just to take part in the pay-per-view predictions contest. The stuff that we're giving away, I mean, there's something for everyone, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And by the way, this Wednesday, which will be the 8th of March, I will be doing Breakfast Soup with Mish. I can't believe 2 weeks have gone by already that fast. Wow. We did an episode almost 2 weeks ago with the rapid fire and all that other stuff. It's already been almost 2 weeks. So this Wednesday, you will have your next installment of Breakfast Soup. And next Thursday, March 16th, you'll have your return of Castle Chronicles Solo. I know people have been waiting on that. I do realize it's been almost 2.5 months that Kevin Castle has had a solo show. He promised me next Thursday's show will definitely be solo. So everybody has been waiting for the return of Castle Chronicles Solo. That will take place next Thursday. So anyway, I'm out of here. Again, everyone on Patreon that won prizes this past week, I will get in touch with everyone on Monday. And I'm out of here. Take care, everyone. Talk to you all soon. Ciao.